And the event is designed to just talk about the work of racial reconciliation, economic empowerment, and justice, and bringing together. We're bringing scholars, clergy, activists, and students. And so we want to have this conversation about all of these issues that that plague Memphis and what we can do about it. Not just talk about the problem, but come together and have some discourse about how we can solve the problem, how we can work together.
Welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. Glad that we could get together on a program today and talk about something that I think you're going to find very interesting, something that you're going to want to engage coming up in September. Before we get into the details, I want to welcome the president of Memphis Center for Urban Theological Studies, Dr. Joseph Caldwell, is here today. Joseph, so good to have you here on BOT Radio.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Now, you recently were inducted into this position as president of MCUTS, which is kind of the affectionate name for the Memphis Center for Urban Theological Studies.
Yes, that's correct. I started in August, and we've been in a whirlwind ever since. It's great, great ministry.
Well, I think it's kind of neat to tell our listeners how we got together today. It's neat how God just makes things happen, or they just happen under His providential care. Probably a better way to say that. Dr. Cicely Wilson is also in the studio with us, and she's on staff with MCUTS. I was enjoying a bike ride out at Shelby Farms. I just love the way they have redesigned and made Shelby Farms is just getting better and better to go. If you haven't been out there yet, I encourage you to stop by and enjoy the outdoors at Shelby Farms. But I ran into Dr. Wilson and her husband, Sandy, and Seth, their little boy. And Seth, is he two?
He's 19 months.
He is one active young man.
Yes.
Very intelligent, too, for 19 months, I must add.
Yes. I call him my little bitty old man.
Well, Cicely, it was really a delight. We just started a conversation kind of with your husband, Sandy. Mm-hmm. Sandy actually teaches here in one of the Christian schools, I believe.
Yes, New Hope Christian Academy out in Frazier.
Were you from Chicago originally? Your husband is from Memphis?
My husband is from South Carolina.
Okay, I'm getting this all mixed up.
That's okay. But we lived in Memphis for several years, and when I graduated from the U of M, we relocated to Chicago for a few years, and we missed Memphis, and we came back.
What was it about Memphis you missed?
Well, just the odd way that Memphis can sometimes be city and country at the same time. And so we really missed that in Chicago, and we missed our friends and our family and just, you know, the community that we had here.
That is really one unique thing about this city. It's hard to say about other places like mm-hmm. Chicago, Atlanta, and some of the bigger metropolitan areas. Memphis does have that the big town feel, but mm-hmm. it also has the country feel, you know?
Definitely.
And it's really nice. And I've been here all my life, and I really love living in Memphis. If you've been here any time, you know, you kind of learn your places and you learn mm-hmm. the unique culture here. Memphis has a culture that's really unique. How would you describe that?
I would probably, just like I said before, it's a little bit of metropolitan, but it still has that hometown feel. So regardless of how big people think Memphis is, you always know someone who knows somebody that you know. So yeah. There's still a community there. So
Cicely, I thought something else was interesting, too, when you and I were talking, is how you got connected with MCUTS. You want to kind of share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I taught for a long time at Creighton College, which then became Victory University. And so a friend of mine and colleague started working at MCUTS. And so when I came back and relocated and started working, she invited me to come on and kind of join MCUTS. And Dr. Caldwell gave me a chance. And so I've just kind of filled in and just jumped right in.
And we talk about MCUTS, Dr. Caldwell. I think it's important, especially for those listeners, that this is the first time they've ever heard anything about MCUTS, that we lay a little foundation. Oh. A longtime friend of mine, Dr. Larry Lloyd, and probably one of the best-kept secrets in the city of Memphis is Larry Lloyd. And he would probably hit me if he was in the room right now. He wouldn't want me to say that publicly. Very humble man, too. But God has used this man in so many ways to help start so many ministries. And I could start naming and probably would forget some of them to start listing. So I don't want to go through the long list because there's quite a few that he's been instrumental in some capacity, whether create the idea or help support ideas that have come to him and make sure they could get off the ground in the right footing they needed to be a viable ministry, you know, in our community. And MCUTS is one such ministry. So, Dr. Caldwell, would you just kind of lay a little bit of background about the whole idea for MCUTS?
When Dr. Lloyd and several churches locally originally founded MCUTS, the idea was an educated pastor in every pulpit in Memphis. And there was this understanding that in many lower-income communities and many churches in Memphis, pastors hadn't had the opportunity for theological education. So MCUTS was founded to provide that education and fill that gap. As we started to minister with that particular set of pastors, we also understood that they were deeply engaged around a set of issues that were different from just normal theological education. They were dealing with issues of poverty and death and drugs and alcohol abuse and all of the things that come with working in inner city urban areas in Memphis. And so we have since switched the curriculum around to focus still on the Bible and on theology, but also to really dig into how does that speak to that particular urban context. So MCUTS currently is offering degrees in Bible and theology, but also offers a degree in human services. We're seeking independent accreditation. We work with a partner right now, Lancaster Bible College in Pennsylvania, to fully accredit our degrees. But we're seeking to do that as an independent institution so we can fully contextualize the degree to Memphis.
I was a student at the former Mid-South Bible College. Cicely referred to Crichton College, which Mid-South Bible College, the president of that school was Dr. James Crichton and was for many, many years. In his honor, when he passed away, the school was named after Dr. Crichton. So I even remember in those days, Cicely, and because you referred to being a teacher there at Victory and also at Crichton, Dr. Crichton even saw back in those days that there was a need to fill an educational void, especially theologically wise. Am I saying that right? I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, that's right.
To the urban community, Dr. James Noble, pastor here in Memphis, was a student at Mid-South, but there was others that came in, and it just gave them such an opportunity to get the proper theological training. Larry and I have talked about this in the past. There's a connection there when it comes to poverty and education.
Educational opportunities traditionally for lower-income neighborhoods have been kind of few and far between because of the rising cost of college, any number of other challenges around admissions requirements, kind of some of the historical struggles that Memphis has had with its public education system, which they're recovering from now but continues to be an issue. And so there's this whole generation of students and pastors who came up who really either didn't have the economic opportunity or didn't have the right educational credentials to transition over to education. Interesting thing about education is studies have shown that a bachelor's degree, regardless of the topic or whatever you do, increases your income and your earnings across your lifespan. It doesn't matter the college or any of those sorts of things. It's just the degree itself will make you more employable. So the path to employability for lower income students is through education, but those doors are often shut unless you have an organization like MCUTS that's tailored for lower-income, non-traditional, returning students that can really focus in on their needs and present an education that works for them.
I discovered that MCUTS is really for the whole community. My neighbor is a graduate of MCUTS. She was thrilled to be able to attend MCUTS and to help her understand deeper the Bible and know how to study the Bible for herself.
Yeah, and that's very true. We have many students who come from all over Memphis and the Mid-South. We have students in Mississippi and coming over from West Memphis and Arkansas. Many students who want to be engaged in the urban area, in urban ministry, and because they can take classes with people who are from those areas and get out of the suburbs. They see that as kind of a missional challenge, and so we're able to provide very solid theological education. They still get the Bible interpretation, the theology, all the basics with that urban area missional focus on top.
Dr. Caldwell, you also mentioned that MCUT's model is after this, the one in Philadelphia. What are some things that you guys have seen, their track record, I guess, that shows that that would be a good model for our community here in Memphis?
The model that Larry Lloyd picked up from Philadelphia was an urban contextualized educational model that was accessible for adults returning to education who may not have had opportunities in the past. The contextualization was the real key to that for us, and there are some similarities in communities between Philly and Memphis, some differences, but still very much the urban context is very similar to our two contexts.
Herb Lusk is a former NFL football player that I think played for the Philadelphia Eagles. I've had a chance to interview Herb before. He's now a pastor in Philadelphia. I don't know if you remember him or not. I don't want to chase a rabbit too far. But Herb, in his NFL days, probably, late 70s, early 80s, I'm just trying to remember when Herb Lusk played for the Eagles, he had a tradition. When he made a touchdown, he would get on his knees and say a prayer, you know. That would always get the attention of the commentators when they would broadcast the games. But I had a chance to interview him later after he was been pastoring for many years, talking about urban ministry. I don't know if he's connected in any way with that, but there's an event coming up that you guys are hosting. Cicely, that's really why we're here today, to talk about this, an event that MCUTS is hosting, MLK 50 Teach-In. We know the tragedy of Dr. King's assassination in our city. And we know what that has meant in the movement for racial reconciliation and racial healing over the years. And we see a key opportunity for the church and for a ministry like MCUTS to lead the way to find healing, to find reconciliation, so we can, no matter what color of our skin, work together to make this city a better place, and in turn, hopefully, would impact other communities around the country.
So the Memphis Teach-In is an MLK 50 initiative, and there are several other events that will have that title, the MLK 50, on it. But ours is a teach-in, and it's hosted by MCUTS. We've partnered with the National Civil Rights Museum, Union University, Lane College, and Lemoine One College.
The National Civil Rights Museum is a partner of the Smithsonian Museums, too. And I don't think a lot of folks realize that, the quality of museum. In order to be connected with the Smithsonian, you got to have something. And they definitely have it here at the Civil Rights Museum.
Yes, and that was the perfect place to host and to partner for this event. And the event is designed to just talk about the work of racial reconciliation, economic empowerment, and justice, and bringing together. We're bringing scholars, clergy, activists, and students. And so we want to have this conversation about all of these issues that that plague Memphis and what we can do about it. Not just talk about the problem, but come together and have some discourse about how we can solve the problem, how we can work together.
A two-day event, is that right?
It's 2 days. Starts Friday, September 29th at noon with an opening ceremony, and it'll end Friday night at midnight. We have something going from 12 to 12. And then on Saturday morning, we start bright and early with a worship service at 8 o'clock in Army Park. And we end at 8 o'clock p.m. Saturday night with another worship service. And in between, we have lots of paper panel presentations. We have some worship services. We have some breakout group sessions. And we have a lot of preaching, and a lot of lectures going on. So it's something for everybody.
Some great men and women, Dr. Caldwell, who are going to be participating in this. One of my dear friends is Dr. James Netters from Mount Vernon Baptist Church. He will be there. And I had Dr. Netters in the studio associated with his big retirement celebration. I think he's, 91 now?
92.
92 now.
Yes.
91 when I interviewed him. But 92, his recall of events of history is like yesterday. It's amazing. I had just a wonderful time of him recalling the day that Dr. King was assassinated, where he was, what was happening in the city, our first black city council member. So the history and the connection with that period is so real. Dr. Netters represents many quality speakers for your event.
That's true. Dr. Netters was actively involved in the kind of the negotiation for the sanitation worker strike. So his voice is very important for this particular event. We also have Dr. James Lawson. Dr. Lawson was working with the sanitation worker strike, was a minister here in Memphis at the time, worked with organizing for MLK around the country, around different events. Cheryl Saunders, who's a professor of ethics at Howard University, who works on these issues, will be there. We also have Ron Sider, who's the founder of Evangelicals for Social Action, who'll be keynoting, along with Gina Stewart, E. Lynn Smith, Bishop Henry Williamson, several other local pastors and ministers.
One of the things that I think our listeners need to make note of, this is a very unique, and I'll even say rare opportunity, to be able to hear from people who encountered it, eyewitnesses. You're saying they're in their 90s now. It's like World War II veterans. They're passing away quickly. But for our generation to be able to hear their own experiences, that's an incredible opportunity.
It is. I just recently took my mom to the National Civil Rights Museum. She lives over in Arkansas, and I brought her over. I was able to go through some of the exhibits with her and just watch her, you know. She got emotional about some of the things that she saw because she was born in 52, so she remembered, you know, where she was and how old she was and all of that. So we saw some of the pictures, and I saw Dr. Lawson, and I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to be here. And so then I thought, this is something that high school students need to be, you know, they need to be present to experience this. So you get to see the actual person that they're in the pictures, that you may see their names in the textbooks. So we actually have something for a group registration. So if teachers, if history teachers want to bring their students, if they come, we'll provide a little bit of a teaching curriculum for them so they can make it, you know, a meaningful experience and get an assignment out of it. But this is going to be an awesome and a historic event for everybody.
Have you had much feedback from any of the schools so far?
Yes, we've actually had a couple of schools from out of state, a school from a university from Florida, Bethune-Cookman is looking. They are planning to attend and bring a delegation of students. We've had some colleges out of Georgia, a couple of colleges from Arkansas who are planning to bring delegations of students to come and be a part of it. And we've had the abstracts, the paper submissions are rolling in from schools and professors and administrators from as far as Iowa.
Of course, Dr. Caldwell, you and I know that this lady right here is a big part. She is working nonstop to, you know, and I'm sure there's others too, but I know that she is particularly has been working real hard to make this event very successful, and it sounds like it is. Okay, what do listeners need to do? A number to call, a website to go to?
If you're interested parties can go to Eventbrite and purchase their tickets. You go to eventbrite.com and look up Memphis Teach-In. The admission is $50, and that $50 is for both days, and it also includes a ticket and tour of the National Civil Rights Museum.
Well, and you mentioned taking your mom through the museum. Emotions came out as you went through. I went through the museum. You can't go through that museum and you not become emotional right about just the whole thing and tears as you walk through and think about the process. Remember our tour guide, he was incredible. The people there know how to give you an experience when you go to the Civil Rights Museum.
Right.
And so for the $50, that includes all of the lectures and then the experience at the museum.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
And all of the worship services. Everything is included in that $50. We'll also have food trucks because, you know, of course, Memphians have to feed you. So there's something for everyone. There's something for the professors, for the lecturers, for the preachers, for the congregation, for the youth.
So all of the events will be held there at the Civil Rights Museum. Is that right?
And at Claiborne Temple. So we'll be at Claiborne Temple site and two venues in the Civil Rights Museum itself.
And Dr. Caldwell, what is historic about the Claiborne Temple? Temple.
So the Claiborne Temple was the site where the sanitation workers fled after the riots broke out. Once the march started and then it was broken up by the police, they fled back to Claiborne Temple, and it became a meeting site for the sanitation workers, and MLK actually addressed the sanitation workers at Claiborne Temple. It's a very historic site.
It is. It was also the place where the sanitation workers were given the I Am a Man signs.
Right.
I was at the Claiborne Temple a few months back, and I heard that just a few months prior to that, down in the basement, they found some of those signs. Hmm. And I don't know where they are now, but still signs left in the basement of Claiborne Temple, which they are doing a renovation right now. I don't think the renovation is going to be completed by the time you have your event, will it?
No, they plan on really kicking off the renovation after the commemoration in April of 2018. But the building is fully functional for events right now. It's just not completely remodeled at this point.
I had a chance to walk back behind the pipe organ room, and there's another little area. You walk down into a room. There's actually a tree or a part of a tree that was growing. The root of the tree was growing. Did you see
the
that?
The building. I've seen it. Yeah, it's growing into the building.
Growing into the building. You got to go see that, yeah. Cicely, wow. When you're there next time.
Definitely.
And it's quite unique in the history there and just being part of that. So I would encourage our listeners, just for the opportunity, to go to the Civil Rights Museum, to go to Claiborne Temple, and to have all this organized focus really on the issue of reconciliation, civil rights, and then how these young minds, too, coming together. I like the challenge you're offering, Cicely, for them.
Yes, and if there are listeners who are out of town who want to come, we've worked with some of the area hotels. And if there is someone from out of town who wants to bring a group of 50 or more students, the leader of that group will get free registration and free lodging.
Speaking of some of these young adults, we're also running an event with this called the Association of Young Preachers Festival, where we're inviting high schoolers, college students, seminarians who want to try their hand at preaching around a social justice verse to come and to preach, and they'll have mentoring, and there'll be a master preacher who will preach a sermon just prior to their sermon. So that opportunity is available for any young person who would like to try their hand at doing that.
You know, it's interesting. I was at a meeting one time with a historian, David Barton. He has a program on our station called Wall Builders. It airs at 5:30 in the afternoon. He has a collection of some of the original pieces of founding fathers' writings and things. And I remember he was doing a presentation at an event I was at, talking about the contribution that black pastors had in the founding of our country. You don't get to hear about too often. Mm-hmm. And so the connection that you guys are having here with this event. And also, Dr. Caldwell, you mentioned about these young men preaching messages on social justices. Soon after our founding of this country, this man I was telling you about, David Barton, has a collection of early sermons that some of these men preached, and they were preaching on social justices.
Yes.
A lot of things that you don't hear from the pulpits today. Why is that?
I think we've came out of the 60s really tired. So there was a lot of social justice preaching during the actual civil rights movement. As the civil rights movement broke down and nonviolence gave way to issues around power and other things, the churches distanced themselves from that, but they never went back to the kind of social justice teaching that you hear. Evangelical churches kind of pulled away from it because it got associated with the social gospel, which and with theological liberalism. But, you know, you can't read the Bible as authoritative and not read those verses about justice. And so the church has kind of shied away from that type of preaching, but there is a strong tradition of biblically authoritative, grounded preaching around the social justice of Jesus' gospel. We've just moved away for fear of the controversy, our fear of being associated one way theologically or the other, that I think is unfortunate.
I agree with that, Dr. Caldwell. Well, this has been a great afternoon with both of you. And before we go, we need to wrap up any last-minute things that listeners need to know about. And I have another question I want to ask you, too. But before we do, Cicely, what else do people need to know about?
We are having the MLK 50 Fine Arts Contest. We're hosting that. And that is for area high schools. It's an art contest. If you go to the Eventbrite Memphis Teach Insight, it gives you all the criteria for that. And so students will represent their high schools, and the winners will receive art supplies for their school. So we're doing that, and the art will be exhibited throughout the event.
Wow, I like that. Okay, final question. You guys are putting a lot of effort into the MLK 50 commemorative teach-in, a whole lot of effort. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks are involved. A lot of people are going to be coming. September Friday the 29th, Saturday the 30th, mm-hmm. the day after, the next month after that. What do you want this event? What do you want it to accomplish? What do you hope it's going to instill and ingrain in those who participate, Dr. Caldwell?
So we intentionally planned our event early in hopes that churches, schools, students, individuals would come together and have a conversation about how do we need to actually commemorate the assassination in April. So it's a chance to start a conversation around what the church should be doing in terms of this historic event and anniversary that we're coming up on. So we really want to see people engaged in honest conversation, in problem solving, in talking about how we come together as a church to affect our communities and our nation around this issue.
Dr. Cicely Wilson, also Dr. Joseph Caldwell with MCUTS, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing this event with us today.
Thank you
for having us. Appreciate it.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Now, if you're interested in learning more about MCUTS, Opportunity for Education, furthering your education, if you're called to church ministry, nonprofit service, or even the marketplace, you must consider MCUTS. What's that website for MCUTS?
MCUTS, MCUTS.org.
Thanks so much. Well, friend, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for joining us. I'm Byron Tyler. Bye-bye now.